Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tempered Automotive Group. Tempered Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters. Tempered Lincoln and Chantilly and Tempered Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tempered for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at Tempered.com.
Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We find our guy, Jay Gruden, the former head coach here in town. Jay, how about that road win? You're down 10-0. Everything seems to be going badly. Chargers moving, trying to get up 17-0, turn the ball over. Then they've got a chance to go up 17-7 on a punt return touchdown. Penalty negates it, and Washington doesn't give up another point the rest of the way. Second half shutout, they win going away.
Yeah, that turn of events there on the punt, Tressway got his leg ripped off, and it was a great call. But instead of a touchdown, Chargers, Washington held the ball, got a field goal at the end of the half to tie it, and then opened up the third quarter. They started fast again in the third quarter, go up 17-10, and never looked back. And that's what good teams do. They jump on a lead in the second half, and they don't turn back. They play great defense and complimentary football, and that's what happened.
Jay, what did you make of Jaden Daniels' start and then his overall complete game?
I think he played great, man. He looked a little rusty, but he actually made the right play on some of them. Throwing them away was smart. Keeping himself out of harm's way. You know, they called a design quarterback run early in the game, which I was like holding my breath over. He almost got killed. But overall, I mean, Jaden played winning football again. He makes the right decision. He's accurate with the football. He scrambles when he has to scramble and doesn't put his team in harm's way. Only took one sack despite some pressure. And the kid's an awesome player, man. Whenever you have him on the field, you got a chance to win, that's for sure.
You mentioned the design run on the second play of the game. I actually loved it. For two reasons. One, the Chargers have been very susceptible statistically this year to quarterback runs. So I thought either by way of just designing some looks for him, you could take advantage of that. Or secondly, if they're going to adjust knowing now, oh, his knee's fine, they're going to run him, maybe it opens some things up in the traditional running game for Cross Kamara or whatever. So one way or the other, I thought it was really, really smart. I'm with you. I was a little nervous. But didn't you think that was part of the plan from Cliff? Because they just nobody had given up more explosives to quarterbacks.
I hear Josh Allen all the time say he likes to get hit early in the game just to get his pads rattled a little bit. And maybe that's what Jaden felt like. Maybe Jaden said, hey, give me a quarterback design run early just to make sure my knee's feeling good. I want to get hit. And I want to get the pads popping and feel part of this football game. That could have been part of it too. But, yeah, I think the versatility that they have in the running game is like no other team in football. You know, with Lamar being out, obviously, the way they pull their tackles, read ends, and quarterback design runs. And, I mean, Merritt had a touchdown run that I think – you or I might have been able to score on. He just walked in the end zone for about 15 yards. And it's fun to watch the running game. They've really done a great job. You know, a lot of these experts are saying the only way to run the ball is under center. That's not true anymore. Washington has proven you don't have to be under center to be an effective running football team.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So the big play of the game where momentum turns is the Quan Martin forced fumble, right, where the Chargers are walking down to potentially score again. But offensively after that, where the only thing that stopped them was a Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara fumble. Otherwise, they scored on every other possession. What do you think they found offensively there on that third possession post-fumble that they recovered?
I think they just had great balance, really. I think Washington and Cliff Kingsbury had it dialed in, you know, with the run and the pass, and they're averaging a good clip running the football. They were doing different design-type runs, and obviously Jaden was effective with the passing game. Debo got involved. You know, they had a key third down. Jeremy McNichols had a nice catch on third down to get a first down. And they just had great balance going on. And they're hard to stop when you have such good balance going on. And Jaden sets his feet. He's got great poise in the pocket. Was accurate with the football on critical throws. And, you know, obviously the big play with Luke McCaffrey was huge at the end of the half. So Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you stop this team right now moving forward with all the things that they could do, the variety of plays that they have out of the shotgun.
Let's talk Bill. 14 for 111 and two touchdowns. Now, you mentioned one of the scores. Both of them, in fact, it was untouched. And this was his best game in terms of yards before contact. Clearly, they blocked it up pretty well. I think he had 59 yards before he was touched, which was a season high for him. But there have been a lot of runs that weren't that way this season. What do you see from this seventh-round pick when you watch him?
He's got good vision, for sure. He's got good burst in and out of holes, and he's very decisive in what he does. There's not a lot of hesitation. A lot of times backs are hesitating in the hole, and they're not sure where to go. Then they make a move, and it's too late. This guy really has good vision and patience, but when he makes a decision to make a cut, he is gone. And that is very impressive for a young kid, very decisive runner, and he's got enough speed to get you on the outside. And, you know, in between tackles, he's got enough patience to find the hole, let the hole open up, and use his pads. You know, he's got to work on the ball security. Can't fumble anymore. Mr. Merritt can't fumble anymore, but very impressed with the way he's playing.
When you see a guy break out like this and play at this level, how do you determine as a coach if it's, you know, a guy on a heater and a good story or whatever, or if it's actually sustainable and replicable? And he's leading the NFL in yards per attempt. He's averaging 6.5. He looks like the real deal. Like, how legit do you think he is?
Well, you know, I think this is a long season, and I think that teams will get to know him a little bit more the more he gets the ball. You know, I like the fact that he's right around 10 to 15 touches a game. I really like that. I don't know if he's going to be as effective at 2025. Obviously, if he's getting 2025, the running game's working, so maybe that's a bad statement. But I just think him being fresh, being effective at 15 touches a game is very impressive. 14 carries and two catches at 16, that's a great number for him because he's going to have bursts. And then you throw in Chris Rodriguez for 4 or 5 carries, McNichols for a couple. And I think you got a great approach right there. And then Jaden get his 7 or 8 touches. So, yeah, I think the way they're approaching the running game is solid and effective. They're doing a great job with the way they're dispersing the attempts.
What do you make of how they're using Deebo Samuel?
I like it. You know, Deebo's perfect. You know, he's, you know, in the passing game, he's doing a little bit of different things. They tried him on a deep ball. He got gloved up, but he's getting in between zones. He's a great receiver, a great friendly target, finding zone coverage holes. And that's where he is, makes his hay, and then running after the catch, obviously. You know, not as many carries on screens and all that stuff as he had in San Francisco, but I think having 11 targets is impressive and catching 8 of them. And another touchdown, an unbelievable throw by Jaden, by the way, the touchdown, an all-out blitz drifting away. I mean, my God. But, yeah, Debo's a great player. He's a great chess piece for Cliff.
That throw was unbelievable that you were just talking about. That's just one that a lot of guys can't make, and it puts the game on ice. It reminded me a little bit of the Bengals play, which was a better throw probably last year. But you know, even though that was a higher degree of difficulty, they're both just like elite throws on the road to end a game, and you got the guy, and they don't, and it just – I mean, it was really, really cool. I thought it was his second best play.
4th and 8. Yes. Cover 0, 4th down and goal. He's got to make a play. There's 3 rushers all over the place. He just drifts with no fear whatsoever, just drops a dime in the back corner of the end zone. I mean, it's not many guys are going to do that. It's just the poise that he has. That he's effortless and just accepting rush and seeing rush coming. And there's a couple other plays where free runners are coming. A right tackle gets beat. He makes a miss and moves around and hits Deebo for a 20-yard gain. So, his pocket presence is really top of the line when it comes to quarterback play in the National Football League.
His touch is outrageous. But my favorite play of his actually ended up being an incompletion. When he got out of the pocket, rolled to his right, bought time, then climbed back toward the line of scrimmage and found Chris Moore in the end zone, in the back of the end zone, and Moore ends up dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Like, he did everything right. It was kind of a vintage 2024 Jaden Daniels play. And if that's another receiver, maybe they catch it, whatever. It's one of the few times all game where I thought, they, you know, I missed Terry McLaurin because otherwise they were making every catch. But that play to me was like next level, I thought, Jay.
Yeah, I think when you put on the tape and you watch him play, there's a lot of things that he does subtly that not many people will see that are very, very difficult to do for a quarterback. He makes everything look easy. And it's just – I just shake my head when I watch his tape. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, he makes 5 or 6 plays in a game that he doesn't even look like he's trying. He just makes it look so easy, and they're not easy, trust me. I mean, any other quarterback, it's either a sack or an incompletion, but this guy, he finds a way to make it work. He's got great poise, anticipation, and accuracy, and speed. That's a great combination for a quarterback.
Jay, what did you see from Washington's defense in this game? It looked at a lot of times like Charger receivers were open. They were getting, you know, catches and gashing them, but whether it was an illegal procedure penalty or a hold or
something. Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Something like that, they got bailed out a couple times, but there was also a lot of good getting after Herbert. What'd you see from the D?
I did see a lot of good from the D. I think that 4 or 5 sacks, I think it's just, again, they played a great effort, and they were able to get the turnover when they had to in the red zone, the interception. Obviously, the fumble on Quentin Johnson by Quan Martin was huge. Part of the game, we already mentioned that. But they play hard, and you could tell they're a lot more fresh. They weren't on a field quite as long. I think Dorrance Armstrong is very impressive with the effort he plays with, and I like the rotation they have on a defensive line. Obviously, Luvu and obviously Wagner are playing very high level, and you know they got a little bit better play from the safety play. We mentioned Martin Reeves and those guys, and they covered pretty well. So it was a great effort. You know, it could have gone really, really bad there if Quentin Johnson doesn't fumble, but they kept their head about him. They stayed the course. The fourth down play was great coaching. Nobody was open on the fourth down play where Herbert rolled to his right, nobody to throw to, and guys were hat on a hat, covered up perfectly. And, so some of his great coaching, some of his great effort, but the combination of the two makes him a very, very good unit.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny. One coaching question for you. On the 3rd and 15 from their own 2-yard line, right before the punt and the touchdown that was negated before the half, so they come out at 1:35 to go. Here's the situation: it's 1st and 10 from the 7. They're throwing it, which I like. Then 2nd and 10 from the 7, incomplete. They get a sack, so it's 3rd and 15 after a penalty from the 2-yard line, and they throw again. I think you got to run there and make the Chargers burn their final timeout. It's 3rd and 15 is so unlikely to get. They didn't. They almost get a sack fumble in the end zone. What do you make of that? That was the one time where I kind of didn't really get the plan.
Yeah, that's just having trust in your quarterback and your offensive line. Really, if you really watch that play again, Andrew Wiley got away with the hold. It should have been a safety. He grabbed Derwin James in the back of the neck collar and got the hold. So there's a lot of things that can go bad with the pass, like you're thinking of with the holding call in the end zone, a sack fumble, whatever it might be. I don't disagree with the fact that you probably want to run it there, but I would never argue letting Jaden have the ball in his hands to try to make a play and get out of the hole.
Jay, something that's always driven me nuts, like driven me insane, and I feel like it happens to Washington more than any other team, but it's also because I watch Washington more than any other team, obviously. It's the early second half squandering of timeouts in non-critical situations, whether it's they can't get a play in on time or something's wrong with the operation. You know, after a reasonable gain of like 10 yards, they had to burn a timeout right there at the beginning of the third quarter. And it feels like it happens every single week. Is that something that drove you nuts as a coach? Or you're going, no, it's actually good. Let's make sure we have the right plan or whatever. What are your feelings on that? Because I know as a fan, it makes me insane.
Yeah, first half doesn't bother me as bad. You know, if you have some confusion, you might call the play wrong. Or you have the wrong personnel group in there. Something's wrong with the headset. You want to get the right play in a critical third down or whatever play. Taking a timeout, you know, I always told the quarterback in first half, it's not that big a deal. Second half, you got to leave them all up to me. I got to make all the timeouts. I don't like burning timeouts. They're so critical with all these close games going on. You got to have them at the end of the game. So, yeah, unless it's a critical third or fourth and one play, sometimes taking a 5-yard penalty is better off than burning one of those key timeouts. But, you know, it's tough, man, calling all these plays, all these words and formation changes. And sometimes you have a guy hurt, you don't know he's hurt, you're calling a play for him, he's on a sideline. Like, what the hell, where the hell is he? Call timeout, damn it. There's a lot of things that can go wrong with a play call. And, you know, it's just something you can't stand as a coach. It drives you nuts.
All right, Jay, let's go around the NFL here. Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. We'll go outside of the Commanders. The Ravens, no Lamar Jackson yesterday. 3-pick game for Cooper Rush. But the story really is their defense. Texans offense has been awful. They go for almost 50 points and 450 yards or whatever. Just completely eviscerate Baltimore. A lot of injuries on defense. How much trouble is the Ravens in right now?
They're in big trouble. If you can't stop anybody, you're in big trouble. You know, they gave up almost 50 points to one of the worst offenses in the league, offensive lines. The Texans haven't been able to do anything lately, and they just scored 40 or 50. You know, it's so, injuries to key players. I mean, they got them all over the place. Their best safety, their best corner, their best pass rusher, their best defensive end, their best middle linebacker. It's hard to function when your best players aren't playing, and the backups to your best players usually aren't very good, and that's what Baltimore's figuring out right now. And they're in big trouble until they get them back. I know Hamilton's coming back soon. Hopefully Lamar comes back. I don't know about Vannoy. I don't know about the corner. So I don't know when they're all coming back, but they need them back bad. Otherwise, it's going to be a long year for Baltimore.
The Eagles got eagled, if that's even a way to put it. They were winning. They probably should have held on to win, and they didn't. The Broncos come storming back with 18 there in the fourth quarter to upset them on the road, 21-17. What'd you make of that one?
Yeah, everybody's getting on them for not running Saquon enough. It's very difficult. You got a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and I think that sometimes the offensive coordinator is starting to worry about what people are writing about him and A.J. Brown's doing on the sideline if he's reading a book. You know, sometimes you got to just regroup and introduce your team to the best player, and that's Saquon Barkley. Now you got to get him the ball as often as possible, and that's what makes their team work, tick. They keep their defense fresh and getting Saquon the ball, and, you know, hell with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You know, they'll get their shots, you know, when they come, but they got to feature Saquon more often. But yeah, that was a tough loss for him, and a great win for Denver and Bo Nix coming through in the fourth quarter in a big-time situation.
38 passes, 11 runs for Philly in that game, and they led by 2 touchdowns at one point. Like, it's not like, oh, well, they're way behind. I mean, they were at worst down a point, basically, in this football game into the final seconds, and it was a 38-11 discrepancy. This Cardinals loss yesterday was gross, man. They fumble the ball on – basically letting the ball go, celebrating DeSean Jackson style at the 1-yard line, going in for a touchdown. I mean, that was just one of a few foibles that are like, you got to be kidding me moments that they had in this game. And a 22-21 loss to the Titans. Jonathan Gannon's got to be beside himself watching the tape today, huh?
I don't think I've ever seen as many plays like that that are like, what the hell just happened? You know, the snap almost gives Kyler Murray a concussion. Hit him right in the face.
He's in the protocol.
They drop the ball, kick it, and Tennessee scores a touchdown. The guy scores a touchdown. He drops it at the 1-foot line. I mean, you can't make it up if you're a Cardinal fan. I mean, but that's the way the Cardinals have been for the last 3 or 4, 5, 6 years. Even when Cliff was there, I mean, they have stretches of looking pretty good. And look at the Cardinals. They're for real. And then they do stuff like this. It drives you crazy. You can't figure out. And, you know, something's got to give over there. Somebody's got to really stick a foot in somebody's keister and get that team going, because they're pretty talented. They just underachieve every year, in my opinion.
Game of the day, probably Tampa-Seattle at 38-35 final. Tampa with an unbelievable road win. I like both clubs, quite frankly. The Egbuka is the real deal. He's a star. I like the makeup of the Seattle team. Defensively, they didn't play particularly well, but just your thoughts on both those teams and probably the game of the day.
Yeah, Baker's obviously jumping into the MVP race. He's unbelievable right now. You mentioned Ibuka. They're a great football team, and they never blink, whether down or up or whatever. I mean, that just goes to show you what kind of playoff win that was last year for Washington beating this football team. This is a well-coached team. Todd Bowles doesn't get enough credit for what he does with that team defensively and offensively. They do a great job. So I love watching Tampa Bay. They're one of the most fun teams to watch in the NFL right now when I'm sitting at a sports bar eating a chicken wing. I love watching Tampa Bay. I love watching Jaden Daniels. Those are my two teams to watch. And Seattle, you're right. They're fun, too. And Njigba is a heck of a player, and Cooper Kupp did some things, and the running game's awesome. Sam Darnold's good, and the defense is usually a lot better. So I think Seattle's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the end of the year as well.
I hated that pick at the end of the game for Darnold. It got tipped, then was off a helmet. But it's just going to go down as, you know, he has a chance to win it, throws the pick, and then the Bucs kick the field goal. But he had gone for three.
That was a Todd Bowles all-out blitz, man. Yep. You never know when they're coming.
He had 340 and 4 at that time, Jay. He balled out.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a hell of a game. But, you know, the teams that make the plays in critical situations, the ones that won, and Tampa Bay did it offensively and defensively, and they deserve to win on the road.
Hey, what'd you think of Drake May last night against the Bills?
Yeah, that's a coming out party for Drake. And, you know, I think that draft class is looking to be pretty good right now. I mean, Drake is a pretty damn good football player. He uses legs. He's athletic. He's got poise in the pocket. So, yeah, I think with Stephon Diggs coming out party as well, that team is coming along too. It's fun this time of year. You start to see the riffraff kind of fall off. Then you start to see these young teams start to emerge, and some of these veteran teams that you know are going to be there, they're still going to be good. And you kind of can narrow it down to about 12 to 13 teams right now that are going to be in the mix at the end. And it's fun to watch right now.
What would you do in your old stomping grounds in Cincinnati? Obviously, minus Joe Burrow, MVP candidate. It ain't pretty, but Browning, when the game was out of reach, all of a sudden, you know, started getting prolific, and they found Jamar Chase a bunch of times. But, you know, he was also responsible for a lot of the bad that got him there. What would you be doing right now?
It's a tough call, you know, because Joe Burrow obviously is their guy, and everybody says, go trade for Kirk Cousins. Yeah, right. How are you going to pay both those two guys? So I don't know. I think you got to stick with Browning. He did a great job coming from behind against Jacksonville, getting a victory there, and had a tough couple weeks. But I think they just got to stick with him and play better defense. That's easier said than done, but they're going to struggle a little bit. Jake Browning, going from Joe Burrow to Jake Browning is quite a difference. You know what I mean? It's just,
yes.
I don't know who else you can turn to. You know, it's just hard in pro football. When your stars get hurt, the backups aren't quite as good. That's what makes the stars the stars. That's why they get paid all the money.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay, phone's breaking up a little bit. We'll let you go. We are done anyway. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you. We'll look forward to next week.
All right. See you.
See you, buddy.
There's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, or F-150 HQ, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage, see and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.